I was born bold.
The new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance, any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson on SEN.
Oh, well, they didn't join in the chorus too often this year. It only happened three times. Three wins for the North Melbourne Footy Club and a disappointing season after Reece Shaw was appointed on the back of some impressive late-season performances last year. We're doing our unconventional club review. Corey McKernan's going to join us after eight to give his take. But right now, the only man really, the audience, so I'm looking at all the messages. They can't wait for this. John from Epping has joined us to give us his review of North Melbourne. Johnny, welcome.
Good morning, boys. How you going?
Wow, we are so excited to have you on and to do this. Before we get started, I know you've done a lot of homework on this. Toddy Goldstein didn't make the top 40 for the All-Australian squad. What are your thoughts on that?
What I thought on this, every morning I check my blood pressure. And this morning I didn't want to check because I know it's going to be 170, at least 170.
What,
I reckon the people that pick the Australia, they should be embarrassed themselves. Because Gosling, he was the best ruckman all year just about, and they let him out. And can I tell you why?
Yeah,
because it's not what you know, it's a who you know.
Who you know?
He doesn't play for Collingwood.
Right. So you think they got overlooked because they perhaps haven't got the profile?
Well, 100%, mate. He'd been knocking the door for the past two, three years. And right. This year, 100% he should have been, and he's still missed out because he doesn't play for Geelong or Collingwood or Richmond. If he would have played one of these teams, I guarantee you, it would have been even last year.
Hey, I like it. You're up and about. You do all your good stuff early because I've got 9 questions for you to answer, okay? So I can see you're in
I'll
good form.
I'll try my best.
You'll be better than that. Rightio. This is the unconventional club review of North Melbourne to John from Epping. Question one, who is the Kangaroos' next All-Australian player, Johnny?
Well, I'm telling you, if Ben Brown is going to stick around with North Melbourne, and next year we're going to have a full team, and I hope God no injury, and deliver the ball the way they used to do to him, I can see why he can be,
the next All-Australian.
I consider this not to be.
Okay, so you've got Benny Brown down. So you're keeping Benny Brown, yep.
Well, I hope so.
Okay, hey, good start, Johnny. I like it. Ben Brown, question two. Do the Kangaroos have the right captain, and if not, who?
Well, I'm telling you, I love Jack Dribble.
But
the past couple of years, he really, he didn't perform the way we all thought he was going to be as a captain. You know, I've been watching all the things he does while he plays.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff he does, they're not really, he doesn't really put 100% into the team. When a game has to be won, he commit and he win the game for the club. And I don't want to criticize him because he's a nice fella and everything.
you're
going to say what you have to say.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I just say my opinion.
That's
now,
right. Yes.
I'm going to tell you, if it would have been me in charge, as I really sure is, I would have asked him a few questions if he think he's strong enough to play the game and to be as a captain. If he's not, he better off to let the captain away and concentrate on his football, and I think he would be better off. And
all
I would
right,
have
so
given, yes, who? I would have given the captain to Ben Brown for about 2-3 years, and
Ben
then
Brown.
After that, yeah, if he stay, I would have given to Ben Brown, and right. Then after that, he would have given to Nick Larky.
Rightio.
Fair
okay,
enough,
over to you, Tim.
Okay, we need to keep moving, Johnny. You're going beautifully. You're going beautifully at the moment. Okay, which player needs to play well for the Roos to have a chance of winning? Which player?
Well, I reckon Simpkin is a really, really top player.
Yep.
I reckon Simpkin is the one who's going to stand up because I can see he's got a lot of talent.
Yep.
Right,
okay,
good.
Simpkin. Okay, question four. A left field trade. Who would you like to trade? A left field type trade.
A left field trade. I would have tried Dumont.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, he's out. Who's in then?
I pick a pun.
Who would you like to bring into the club?
From other clubs you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. From other clubs, he's a defender. He plays for Brisbane Lions. His name is Alex Witherding.
Yes.
Yes.
He plays defence, and every time the ball goes in defence, he plays really well. And when he never missed a kick. And he got a lot of confidence. I can see every time he kick under pressure, he never missed a kick. And I reckon it would be a deal for North.
Hey, Johnny, everyone's loving your review at the moment, so you're on fire. So keep it up. Now, next question. Which player needs a pay rise?
I reckon Simpkin.
Simpkin, right. Yep. Fair enough. I know you're a fan of him. Which player needs a pay cut?
Oh, can you... You want to believe it? Jared Pollock.
Yes, okay. I can't believe it.
All right, who are you expecting a big 2021 from?
I would say, I reckon Ben Brown, like I told you before, you put the team, I say Ben Brown, mate. Ben Brown, I'm telling you.
Okay, would you like Ben Brown to coach as well? You've named him a few times this morning.
No. He's doing it fine. You forget about this year, because this year was a disaster year, not just for North, but was for much of the team.
Okay, one final question. The big positional change in 2021.
Yeah. Forget about Terrence, leave Terrence alone in defence. But I would say Cameron Zuhai, instead to play in the forward line, he play midfield.
Okay, wow. I thought you might have been moving Ben Brown to full back.
No. He was born to play forward, and that's the way he's supposed to be.
Hey, Johnny, you have done a fantastic job, my friend.
You reckon?
No, I reckon. I reckon you love Ben Brown. You didn't want to criticise Jack Zeeble, but you said he doesn't try hard enough. And you want Zuhar into the midfield. You'll have to get fitter, though, won't he?
Oh, well, give him another year. It's already his third year next year, so I reckon he should be fit enough. If you're not fit enough in 3 years to play football, when are you going to be fit?
Very good point.
That
just
is
quickly,
a sensational point.
Just quickly before we let you go, how did you come to Barrack for North Melbourne, John?
Well, in 1977, I was watching the final Collingwood and North Melbourne, and because I'm Italian, I saw the two coach showing TV, Tommy Harvey and Ron Barassi. Which one you would have better if you were Italian?
Exactly. Hey, Johnny, we'll get you a prize. You've been great, and I know you've been a regular part of this program from day one, and it was great to hear your voice, and people can relate because you're a passionate, passionate supporter of your club, and we love that. Yes?
Can you say hello to Kurt McKenna when you interviewed Kurt McKenna this morning?
Yes.
To who?
Corey McKenna.
Kurt McKenna?
Yes.
Of course. Yep. He's coming up.
He's a friend of ours.
Okay, we'll pass that on to him when we speak to him, okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny.
John from Epping, the unconventional supporter club review there, and some interesting points there. I think he likes Ben Brown.
He likes Ben Brown.
Seriously.
That was great.
8% of the people have said how much they love that. You know there's some miserable people. God. I'm not even going to... I love that. That makes my heart sing. And that's what it's about. Fair income footy. The people who love the game. And Corey will give us his considered opinion after 8 o'clock. So I just wanted to run through them again. The next All-Australian was Ben Brown. The next captain was Ben Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the player that has to play well? Jai Simpkin. Yep. The trade option was, who was he trading out?
Dumont. Yep.
He wants Witherden in.
Yep.
The pay rise to Ben Brown was, did the pay rise go
the
to?
Pay rise was to Simpkin.
Simpkin. The pay cut was to Pollock.
Yep.
The big 21 was from Ben Brown.
Ben Brown.
And the positional change was Zuhar into the middle.
That's it.
That's as good a review as you need.
Can't get better than that. Footy
club. We'll take a break and be back after this.
I was born bold.
the new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance, any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson on SEN.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday, the 23rd. Corey McKernan's going to join us in just a moment to wrap up the North Melbourne Footy Club season. A disappointing one, and it would have been a hard watch for the former champ of the Kangaroos. And then we'll throw the lines open and take calls, questions without notice as we head towards 9 o'clock. Still, the messaging coming through. Actually, Corey's got a very, very tough act to follow on the back of what we've just seen from Johnny from Epping. And let's welcome the former champ from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and it's great to have him on. Welcome, Corza.
Now, Gaz, I can vouch for it, but Johnny's house, I've actually been out there and I've had a feed. Because Vito from Virgin, very good friend of mine, and went out there and I made the mistake of not realising when you go to an Italian's house that I filled up on the early part of the entrees, not realising there was way more food to come.
he said to give a shout out to his good friend, Corey. He said he's good friends with you and known you for a while.
Oh, we had prosciutto, we had all sorts of things, had the chickens out there, it was unbelievable.
He first joined us when we started the station Wispy, way
back. Oh, yeah.
And he was known to us as Johnny the Quail Man, because he used to go out hunting quail. I don't know whether he dropped the quail onto the table or not.
No, I didn't see any quails that day, but no, look. I did make the fatal mistake. I think we had some schnitzels early, and I thought it was heaven, not realising that it was still pasta to come. And then they said, "Do you want dessert?" I'm like, "I'm not having dessert. I'm done."
Hey, we're going to get you to jump into this in a moment. But what are you up to now? You find yourself up on the Gold Coast? I know you did a little bit of stuff for Fox this year, which was great.
Yeah, up in Maroochydore. Been up here for about 2 years. I've got a number of different projects I'm working on at the moment, but look. The one that's been really fulfilling and sort of helping out a lot of people in Victoria, at the first pandemic, I come up with the idea of, I created a walk in the morning because I thought a lot of people would be doing it tough from a mental point of view, and I called it Walk With Me, and it's been unbelievable. We do it every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 7 a.m. via Zoom, and if anyone out there is doing it a little bit tough, we just jump on a Zoom call and hopefully we get your day off to a good start.
That's fantastic. So what is there, a number they have to call, or how does that will come about?
Well, they can easily just go to my Facebook page, or, yeah, that would be the easiest way of doing it. Just go to Corey McKernan or at my Twitter handle. I can give that to the guys afterwards and if they want to give it a pump. But, look, it's been unbelievably rewarding, Gaz, to know that you're sort of making a difference and knowing that a few people are doing it tough, and some of the messages you get are just unbelievable. So
it's a great thing you're doing. That is a great idea, Corey, and we commend you for that. We asked Johnny this before we got rolling, what he thought about Goldstein missing out on All-Australian squad selection. Have you got a thought on this as well?
Oh, look, we're in a really bit of a golden age, Tim, of Ruckman in the competition. That I think Nick Nat, through his undisputed influence on the game, is probably a lock. I did feel like Goldie's sheer consistency across the year would have at least got him in the squad before Max Gorn. But hey, it's in its opinion, and it's only one person's opinion.
Okay, let's get started out. This is the club review, the unconventional club review for North Melbourne this season. Question one, Corey, so you'll answer it, then Gary will answer the same question. Who's the Roos' next All-Australian?
I would say Cam Zerha has the talent. I'd like to see him maybe get a lot fitter and have that real Dustin Martin role where he plays 50-50 up on the ball. Look, he's such a bull and such a contested beast that I'd just love to see him spend more time on the ball. But at the moment, I think his fitness, he really needs to get up. And we all know, I mean, he can take a mark, and when he goes forward, he knows how to kick a goal. So I think he's the one that I would see as being the next All-Australian.
Yep, I think the fitness is his focus over summer. I've got Luke McDonald, who I thought wouldn't have been far away from this squad of 40 that's just been announced. He's been, well, obviously the son of a former star of the Kangaroos, just was a mid, a halfback that was just going okay, and then went into the midfield to tag for about 3 weeks, and then went back to halfback and absolutely dominated the last half of the year. So if he can continue on that graph, I reckon he's a chance.
Now, Johnny from Epping, he loves Jack Zeeble as the captain, but he's not particularly sure whether or not he's the right bloke to be captaining the club at the moment. Corey, what do you think? Have the Roos got the right captain there now?
100%, they got the right captain. I think Jack, he's been excellent in terms of, look, we've had such a great succession of great leaders at the Kangaroos, and he'd learnt from the best in Drew Petrie, Brent Harvey and Mick Ferrito. And look, I think he's done a great job in terms of having those North Melbourne values and how the boys go about their footy. But look, there's also those other leaders that are at the Kangaroos when you've got Robbie Tarrant, Goldstein, Higgins, Cunnington and Luke McDonald. So I wouldn't really want to see any of those guys anywhere. I know there's a few rumours about trading certain players, but I think you've got to have those guys at your footy club that show you the way to go about your footy, and especially if we're going to have so many new people coming into the footy club.
The only other consideration I had was if Jack's body was becoming an issue and he was struggling to get to the line, I thought the next one would be Robbie Tarrant. Now, age may also make that a little bit more difficult, but in terms, they've been a little bit light on. So leadership is something they're going to have to work on with Goldie and Higgins in the twilight of their career. So Tarrant would be the only one for me, only other one.
Hey, Gary, I'll get you to answer this question first. If player X plays well, the Roos are always a chance. Who is that player?
Ben Brown.
Corey?
I would say it's been highlighted this year. I think Ben Cunnington, we know he had his troubles with his back, but I just think he's so good with his clearance work and his toughness around the ball that, yeah, like I think he just makes such a difference in the middle, and especially with having someone like Goldie, you're taking full advantage of his hits in the ruck as well.
Corey, left field trade option. We know that North Melbourne already dropped delisted 11 players, so they're going to be active in all parts of trying to acquire more talent. Who's the left field trade option?
Yeah, Tim, I think the options may have narrowed down a fair bit. When Goldstein and Higgins, they're another year older, I'm not sure whether many clubs out there, unless you're really in the premiership window, are going to give up a fair bit to get some of these players. I just think it's going to be a case that they're probably just going to have to go back to the draft and do it maybe the old-fashioned way. Like, I think they've tried a few times in terms of getting these different players in, and some of these players now are giving them problems that they'd probably now like to get rid of. So I think they've just got to go back to the draft.
I've gone for everyone. except for Simpkin and Thomas. I'd say we will entertain any deal you want to put
anyone
to us on any player on our list except for those two. If they're in, this is in the rebuild that they're about to embark on, and it's going to be long and it's going to be a bit painful, throw it all open and just see what happens.
What about a left field trade target? Somebody out there. I know you've said that you don't want to be doing this, Corey, but there's got to be a young player that fits the profile of North Melbourne and what they're trying to build right now. Who might that be?
Oh, where do you start? like Gaz said, look, I think the options are in terms of wanting to get quality people in through the footy club's doors. Of course, that stuff that we want to do, but the list would be is the length of Flemington Strait in terms of the talent you want to get in the door.
I've taken the left field thing. Mm-hmm. I've gone for Brennan Cox from Fremantle.
No, I like that.
You've got to try and identify a player who's much better than perhaps people think. And it might be a year late, because I think Fremantle have now realised just how talented this bloke is. But he could be anything at either end of the ground, Brennan Cox. So there's a left fielder.
No, I like that. Which player, Corey, is deserving of a pay rise there?
Well, I was a big fan of his when I saw him play at Brisbane, but I think Josh Walker, who they picked up pretty cheap. I was a really big fan when I watched him play in Brisbane last year, and North got him across this year. I just think he's marking and what he'd been able to do this year at both ends of the ground. I just thought he proved to be a real bargain deal for us.
Good nomination, Gary.
Super nomination. I had Luke McDonald down again. I don't know whether he's on good wedge or not, but he's had a great year, so I'd be happy to give him a couple more bucks.
You got a touch of the Johnnies about you this morning, Gary.
I have. And I'm going to go the same with Johnny, because I reckon Pollack needs a pay cut.
Who needs a pay cut? Corey?
Gaz, you, off you go, Gaz.
Johnny said Jared Pollack couldn't spit the words out quick enough, and I'd agree. He was on large money, so I think you could trim him up a bit.
Corey?
Yeah, look, I think if it's reported that he might be on somewhere around the 700K a year, it's probably worth taking a look at, I would have thought.
Okay. Who can we expect a big 2021 from? I know North will be hoping it's a lot of players that they get a big 2021 from, but who can we expect a big 2021 from?
Yeah, look, other than everyone be fit and able, but look, I think the one that I saw this year that really showed something special was Bailey Scott. Other than, he knows how to kick a goal, but there are a couple of marks that he even took down forward where he just launched himself in the air like a real sort of power forward, even though he's I think he's only about 6'2", I think he is, but he could really, if Ben Brown stays, and then you've got Larky, you have Zerha, Taron Thomas, all of a sudden that forward line starts to get a pretty good look about it.
Nice one. I went with Luke Davies Uniac. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. Matthew Lloyd talks so glowingly of him that you just started to see glimpses of it this year as to why. So high draft pick, I think pick 3 or 4, somewhere in the lows. So I'm looking for a big 21 for him. And for a positional change, Wispy, you know my thoughts on this. Taron Thomas to halfback for a year or two, just to establish himself, ball use, get plenty of the footy, get some confidence up, and then he can explode somewhere else.
Great idea, Corey.
I actually really like that idea, Gaz. But the one that, look, if you haven't guessed already, I'm a bit of a Cam Zerha fan. I think if he can get really fit and he can go into the midfield, he can really take on that Dustin Martin-type role, split his time 50-50 between the midfield and up forward and just let him go. I think we just see, we only get little glimpses of him in games, but I think we just want to see more of it. So, we want to see a huge pre-season from him and get him up there.
Yeah, absolutely sensational, mate. You're up there in Queensland. You can come to our website, people out there, and can join Corey on the walks on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, which I think is just a sensational idea for this time that we're going through. So, great to hear your voice, mate, and enjoy life up there.
Yep, and hopefully we'll get to see you all soon and catch up and have a beer.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic. Corey McKernan, what a star he was. 250 goals, 196 games, two-time premiership player, won the AFL MVP in 96, was All-Australian in 96, and should have been a Brownlow medalist in that year as well. Just a superstar. So very nice to hear his voice, and it's a nice way to do these reviews. You get an idea of where a club's at in the eyes of those that know their clubs best. And Cam Zerha. There's a player that he's got good pressure on him, Cam Zerha. I know David King is of a similar opinion of Cameron Zerha, so he should take that pressure to get himself rock-hard fit over summer, and he can lead the Kangaroos next year.
He can. The same messaging around him is from everybody, isn't he? He just needs to get himself a little bit fitter and be able to do what he can do for a bit longer out there, and then he'll be one hell of a player.
Join us, 1300 736 736, 0433 98 11 16. There's a whole heap of stuff that we can talk about with you guys, and we'd love to, including the Wisps here.
Born Bold, the new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance, any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary White and Tim Watson on SEN.
Just before we cross to Peter O'Rourke, the plot thickens on this wispy hair situation.
Oh, does Nick it? How much thicker can it get, do you think?
I think a lot. Nick reckons he just picked up his son, his Herald Sun from the servo, and there's some feathery hair strands hanging out of it. It could be a giveaway, is it? Get the Wisps hair cut out as a bonus from the Herald Sun. Oh, crikey, I'm all over this today. We'll get back to it. We've got to straighten up. You're getting a lot of thumps have jumped to your defence, though, Wisp, so I'll read them out to be fair as well. But we do wake up this morning to the news that West Ham coach and two of his players, who were both set to start against Hull, have all tested positive for COVID-19. The interesting thing is the game still went ahead, so I wonder if Peter O'Rourke can put us in the picture here, leading journalist over in the UK. Peter, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, guys.
We, as you can imagine, every sporting organisation in the world dealing with the challenges around COVID-19. What was the situation here, and how is it that the game continued to go ahead with those two players?
Yeah, it's a real developing story over here in the UK. This West Ham trio testing positive for COVID-19, which is the normal test that Premier League clubs are carrying out on all their staff and players during the week in training, before matches as well. But yeah, this one definitely a bit different. Less than an hour before kickoff tonight in the Carabao Cup tie against Hull, news came out that David Moyes, the manager, Issa Diop, the centre-back, and Josh Cullen, the midfielder, all tested positive for coronavirus, and then obviously were told to leave the stadium and go home and isolate. And the strange thing is that the match actually went ahead despite this shock news that the three people had tested positive for COVID. The game went ahead. West Ham went on to win 5-1 to book their place in the fourth round of the Carabao Cup. But yeah, also reports suggesting that the Hull City players refused to take COVID tests, even though West Ham were willing to pay for them and provide them. And that's going to cause a few more question marks around this whole game and why it went ahead, because really coronavirus has reared its ugly head again here in the UK. Infections are rising every day, almost doubling every day, and there's real concerns that we're going to have a second wave of the virus right now. And we all know how bad it was the first wave around March time when we went into a national lockdown, and we've had statements from the scientific people. We've had an announcement from the Prime Minister tonight as well about new restrictions and how to try and combat the virus as well. So yeah, real worrying times, not just for sport, but for everybody in general in the UK. But yeah, big shock, this news tonight that the three West Ham employees tested positive and then they actually went ahead and played the game. So they might have spread the virus even more because that those three people were around the West Ham squad for the last couple of days. There's a real possibility that more players might test positive in the next few days.
Peter, it is amazing to think that so strict are the protocols here, and I'd imagine the same over there, that that can happen. What does it mean for the Premier League season then?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Everybody seems to be saying that they're following the protocols, following the guidelines that have been given out by the government. The Premier League have been quite good following those guidelines, and they've created their bubbles, all these Premier League clubs. We've had very few positive tests up to now. When the Premier League restarted after lockdown, they got through it and finished the season, albeit without any fans in stadiums, but it all seemed to go quite well, and I think everybody was impressed by the organisation of the Premier League and how they got the games played despite the initial first wave of coronavirus. And the season has started. We're two games in now and there hasn't been many issues. There's been a few people have tested positive. We've had Ilkay Gundogan of Manchester City. He's tested positive, so he missed last night's game against Wolves. But I think this one's probably the biggest one so far, with three members of a squad, including the manager, David Moyes, all testing positive. And I think there's going to be question marks because they played Arsenal just last Saturday. And if some of the Arsenal players were now to test positive, that would be a real major headache for the Premier League. But I think right now the Premier League's plan, and the rest of the clubs, they want to continue on and continue in their bubbles, and they're going to follow the guidelines and hope that there'll be no more positive tests for any players or staff.
Hey, Peter, just one final question before we let you go. Crowds were set to re-enter stadiums in a limited capacity on October 1, but that date has now been pushed back because of what's happening there in the UK. What will the financial implications be of all that?
Yeah, it's pretty massive, the financial implications. It's a real shock to the system for all sports, not just football. I think we've heard the Aston Villa chief executive Christian Perslow claim that Premier League clubs are losing £100 million a month when fans are not in the stadiums, which is a massive amount of money. Obviously, these Premier League clubs are all pretty wealthy and rich. They can probably cope with that, with the amount of money they get from TV deals and everything else being broadcast all over the world. But it's the other clubs in England in the lower leagues, the Championship, League One, League Two. They're going to really struggle without fans. That's their lifeblood. That's where they get most of their revenue from. And the longer we're without fans, it's probably going to mean that some clubs go to the wall, unfortunately. I think right now that's probably the worst case scenario, but I think it's pretty inevitable because we're not going to have fans back in stadiums probably within the next 6 months, according to the government and the scientists. So, yeah, it's going to be a real tough time for English football and English sport in general, I think.
Indeed it is, and it is around the world, Peter. Hey, we appreciate you jumping on at short notice and keeping us up to speed with that concerning development. Good luck. Hopefully the season can continue on, because we need the distraction. We appreciate you joining us.
No problems, guys. Take care.
Peter O'Rourke, leading footy journalist over there.
Biggest belief.
Imagine how that happens. Yeah. Does it, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no way known that... I was thinking while he was talking about what had taken place there. There's no way known, similar circumstances here in the AFL, that that game would have gone ahead.
So how does it happen? I mean, we don't know the answers to this, but as he said, then they're going to go and play Arsenal, so then Arsenal are implicated, and we know how this thing works, so... It is a concern. So thankfully, we're just so fortunate that the AFL have been able to handle the situation here and get their clubs away and up into a safe environment. And we have four finals start in a couple of weeks' time, and fingers crossed that we do get to the line without any further issues. Hairgate continues to go, but I'll just give it a rest for a minute. We'll get to 7 o'clock news and we'll come back and we'll talk some footy after we hear from Meredith Gibbs.